I forgot birthdays and anniversaries. Don't want to miss those. We have a couple this week. On Thursday, Terry Martin has a birthday. Happy birthday to you. And Eric Martin and Natasha Zimmerman have a birthday on Friday. So happy birthday to you all. You can open your Bible to Luke chapter 20 for a message this morning. We're going to pull a verse out of a passage and we'll come back and look at it later. But I'd like to look at Luke chapter 20 and verse 25 for our message this morning. It's a familiar verse and I don't want to take it out of context. But Luke chapter 20 verse 25 says, "And he said unto them," Jesus speaking, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." For our title this morning, I'd like to use "Render therefore unto Caesar." The inspiration for this message comes from a great need in my life. I feel like I have a need for appreciating some of the authorities in my life. Over the last few months, I see a problem with being willing to submit to the mandates and the directions given by our government authority in our life. What kind of feelings went through your heart there the other week when there was a mandate that came out that we should wear a mask whenever leaving our house? What kind of feelings went through your heart? And I just evaluate my heart. What kind of feelings went through my heart? The other day I was at a fast food restaurant and I pulled my mask down to order my food, and the lady behind the plexiglass shield of also wearing a mask said, "Could you please put your mask back up?" And I was sort of taken aback. I'm not accustomed to ordering food with something across my face. But there was an angry feeling that welled up in my chest, I have to confess, that I needed to take care of. I wanted to reply in a way that I shouldn't have. What kind of conversations have we been having when we're together on a job site or when we meet up with someone? What kind of conversations am I having about our government and their the way of flattening the curve, as they call it? What are my attitudes and conversations surrounding that? We can argue and have discussions about whether it's even lawful for these mandates to be, or restrictions to be, placed on us. But I'd like to look at that this morning. We can think that everything that is being asked of us is just ridiculous or illogical. And we can feel like our rights are being violated and our freedoms are being taken away. And it's not just virus mandates. There's other things that we bump into, whether it's building permits or speed limits or many little things that we need to submit to because we live in this country, and we bump up against that sometimes. This morning I want to challenge myself and all of us to think about our attitudes and our words and sometimes our actions about towards our earthly authority. If you're here in Luke chapter 20, one day some men try to trap Jesus with a question on authority. I'd like to start reading in verse 21 and read through verse 26. "And they," he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees, "they ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the persons of any, but teachest the way of God truly." They were flattering him. And then they had this question for him: "Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no?" But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and subscription hath it?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." And they could not take a hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer, and they held their peace. So they're trying to catch Jesus here with who he looked to as his authority. And there was no right answer for this question. They thought they had Jesus backed into a corner. Because here was the dilemma. If Jesus said that they should not pay taxes to the Roman government, or Caesar here, he would have been considered an enemy of Rome and a rebel. And there was plenty of these types of people during this time that Jesus was on this earth. They were called zealots. Zealots were Jewish men who refused to submit to the Roman government. And they rebelled against that any chance that they got. One of Jesus' disciples, Simon, was called Simon the Zealot. That's found in Luke 6, verse 15. He was a rebel. He refused to pay this tax to Rome, because doing so recognized the fact that Rome was in authority in their life. And they thought if they could just rebel against that and not pay that tax, it would somehow exempt them from being subject. But they were still subject. The other side of the question was that if Jesus said that they should pay taxes to the Roman government, then the Jews could accuse him of being a traitor to his Jewish ancestry and rejecting God as sovereign ruler of the Jews. So there was no right answer to this question. But in verse 23, Jesus saw right through what they were trying to do, and he avoided the trap that they had laid for him by giving them an object lesson, like he often did. He answered the question with a question in verse 24. He says, whose subscription or whose image is on the penny, the tax that you're required to pay, whose image is on there? And they replied, well, it's Caesar's. And then, verse 25, he says, render unto Caesar, or give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. This currency was marked with the image of Caesar on it, much like our money is marked with the United States Federal Reserve on it. So every time a Jew wanted to purchase something, he got his coins out of his pocket and he handed it over. He saw that inscription of Caesar on there, and it was a reminder to him that he was subject to an occupying government. This tribute that they were to pay here was what we would call a tax. And there was three different taxes that the Romans placed on the Jews. The first one was a ground tax, and this was 10% of their crops or 20% of their wine. The second was an income tax, which, much like we have income tax today, and it was approximately 1% of their income for a year. They were required to pay that tax. The third one, which was the most grievous to them, was a poll tax. It was approximately a day's wages, and this tax was placed on each male from age 12 to age 65, and on women from age 14 to 65. And basically, this was just a tribute tax, just to remind them that they were under Roman rule. And they hated it. They hated it. Many thought that when Jesus came, that he was going to be the one that would free them from this oppression. This tax said, I'm subject to Rome. It wasn't so much about the money. It was just simply that principle that they were not free. They could not do as they pleased. They had to answer to someone. So Jesus took their question to him, and he didn't ignore the authority of Caesar. Neither did he ignore the authority of God. He simply placed them in their proper perspective. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Jesus didn't set the two against each other. He simply put them on their proper level. He pointed out that we have a responsibility to our earthly leaders when he said, render unto Caesar. But he also highlighted their responsibility to God when he said, give to God the things that are God's. As long as what our earthly authorities are asking us is not in conflict with God's word, then we have an obligation to obey, no matter how illogical or ridiculous we may think the requirement may be. Jesus was pointing that out here. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, where this teaching is taught again by the disciples. Acts chapter 4, read two verses there, 18 to 20. Peter and John were called into court for preaching the gospel. And they called them, verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. And they went on to say, we ought to obey God rather than men, later on this in this passage. So we have an obligation to the earthly authority and also the godly authority in our lives. And the one is subservient to the other. And as long as what the authorities of this land are asking us, we have a responsibility to obey them. And we'll look at that some more. Turn to Romans chapter 13, familiar passage when looking at this subject. Let's read verse 1 through 7 of Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So let's just go back across this passage. This is a very clear passage. It's very easy to understand, and it's very difficult to live out sometimes. Verse 1, the first part of the verse says that God is the supreme authority and that all authority comes from God. There is no power but of God. And we can think back to, well, we don't have to think back. We can think of leaders today who abuse this authority that God has given to them. We can think of men like Hitler and very awful men that have used their authority to destroy. But it says here that all authority comes from God. As I think about the different authorities in my life, it's a good reminder for me to think about that all authority comes from God. And we'll talk about the responsibility that comes along with that authority here in a little bit. You can keep your finger here in Romans, but I want to turn back to John chapter 19. Here Jesus and Pilate, or Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate is questioning him. John 19, verse 10. I see I have the wrong reference here. No, I'm in Luke. That's why it's not lining up. John chapter 19. Verse 10 and 11. Jesus is in the judgment hall before Pilate. And Pilate asked him a question. He says, thus saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So Jesus had all power and all authority, and he was standing here before Pilate. How is that possible? Well, he laid aside his power, his authority, and came down here to earth to die at the hands of evil men for our salvation, for those who had abused the authority given to them. This is what happened clear back in before the fall of man. Satan had a problem. He had a problem with his authority. He didn't want God to be higher than him. He was proud. He wanted to be like the Most High, it says, and he wanted to usurp the authority over him. And that is why he was cast out of heaven. We are all under authority. and all authority comes from God. Second thing I'd like to notice here from Romans chapter 13, turning back to Romans 13 again, is it also found in the first verse. Is that God ordains the powers. The people who are in authority are placed there by God. So God sets up the kings that are in this earth. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." So we think about the leaders of our land, the leaders of this world, and we can be very critical of them or maybe think that they are making the wrong decisions, but God sets those kings up. God places them in that place of authority. It's one of the reasons that we don't vote for elected officials in government. God sets up who he will. It says in Daniel that he sets up the basest of men. God is superintending in the affairs of this world. Even though we can look at the world scene and think that things are chaos, God is in control. He's setting up men as rulers. There's not going to be some kind of voter fraud that messes up God's plan and the wrong person gets elected. God is in control. He is superintending and he is setting up those in authority. So submitting to authority, Jesus being our example of submitting to authority. It says in Philippians 2, 5 to 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Submitting to authority takes humility. Humility like Christ. I wanted to look at that reference in our previous point of authority and Jesus laying aside his authority. And I overlooked that. Apologize for that. If we go back to Exodus chapter 14, we're not going to turn back there, but thinking about the king's heart being in the hand of the Lord, God is in control and he is superintending this world in a way that's going to bring the most glory to him. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 4, he says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. God hardens Pharaoh's heart back there when the Israelites were crossing over the Red Sea. And he did that to show himself strong, to lift himself up. And that is what God is doing in this world today. He's set up leaders, and he is going to be glorified at the end. Verse 2 has another instruction here for us on how to relate to our earthly authority. It says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." It's in our nature to resist authority. We do not want to be told what to do. At least I don't want to be. I don't want to submit to authority. And why is that? And I have to recognize the fact it's because I'm selfish. I want my way. I want to do things my way. And it's easy for us to make excuses to allow room for that in our lives. We can say it doesn't make sense what they're asking of me, or it's just not right for them to ask that of me. I thought about the verse in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." That was not a logical request for a Roman soldier to stop a Jew and say, "Carry my package, carry my pack for a mile." He was allowed to do it by law, but it wasn't logical, was it? And Jesus taught here in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, if he stops you and asks you to carry his pack a mile, carry it too. That wasn't logical. That's what Jesus taught, as being submissive to our authority. I don't think we can use logic to make exceptions for obedience. We like to sometimes. We can rationalize and make loopholes for ourselves. But it says here in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth God. It's pretty straightforward and clear. I also think it's important to note who the ruler was when Paul wrote this passage. Does anyone know who was in rule when Paul wrote his letter to the Romans? Clyde? It was Nero, yes. Nero ruled from AD 54 to AD 68. And if you've read anything about Nero, he was a very ruthless man. He persecuted the church heavily. He was a very, very evil man. One of the things he did was he impaled Christians on poles and burnt them as torches in his outdoor gardens. Very awful things. But Paul wrote Romans 13 under that type of rule. He says in verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." And he was writing about his ruler, Nero. Now, there are abuses of power, and we can see that in Nero's life and other people, Hitler and others, like I mentioned before. And every person that has authority is going to have to give an answer to God who gave it to them. So all authority comes from God, and that authority must report back to where they received that authority from. And we'll leave that with God, with the men who abuse authority here. I don't think what Paul was teaching here was giving Nero license to do what he was doing. But basically what Paul was pointing out here is we need to respect our rulers no matter what they ask of us. Verse 5 was a challenge to me. "Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Do we only obey if we think we might get caught and have to pay consequences for it?" Isn't that kind of besides the point? Paul's teaching we need to obey because of the principle of obedience to our authority. And that governs my actions when I know I can probably get by with doing what I want to do. I want to put a new roof on our shop, and it's quite a process to get a building permit to put a roof on a commercial building. And I had someone tell me, well, you know, we could just kind of park our trailer out there and block it so you can't really see it from the road. That would be a lot easier. But is that the route we're going to take? Or are we going to go through the proper procedures and steps to legally obtain that building permit and do it? It gets pretty practical sometimes. Verse 6 and 7, the word render here used in verse 7 is the same word that Jesus used when he said render under Caesar. Render means to give back or to yield to. Simply read this verse to mean that we should meet the requirements that are asked of us if we possibly can. If it's a tax, we pay it. If it's a requirement, then we do our best to comply with it. And of course, balancing that with always asking the question, does it contradict our highest authority, which is God? But what are some ways that we can render unto Caesar today? I think one of the ways we can render unto Caesar is simply having a respect for the office. I was challenged by David in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Let's just turn back there for a few verses. David had been anointed to be king over Israel because Saul had failed so miserably at it. And Saul was pursuing David's life. We're not going to read all these verses here, but Saul was pursuing David's life, and one day they find themselves both in the same cave. Well, Saul didn't realize David was there. But David knew that Saul was there. And there was David's enemy in the cave. And David's men said, "Here's your opportunity to take care of this. Let's We're tired of running around. Let's take care of this right now. And David went up to Saul and cut a piece off of his robe, and Saul never even knew he was there. And after Saul woke up and went out of the cave, David's conscience smote him that he had cut a piece off of the king's robe. And he called out to Saul and said, "This is what I have done." Basically apologized for doing that. In this dispensation, David would have had every reason to go ahead and take Saul's life there, but he didn't. And why was that? He had a respect for the Lord's anointed. He said, "I can't do that. I cannot kill who God has ordained." Even though that person was trying to kill him, he would not hurt the Lord's anointed. He respected the office, and he had submitted himself to the authority that God had placed in his life. Second way we can give back to or render to Caesar is, I believe, is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. The inspiration here, 1 Peter 2. I'm just amazed at what these writers were able to write. Even though they were persecuted by the governments they found themselves under, tremendous persecution, yet they had a respect for the authority. 1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against..." Sorry, let me start over with verse 12. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." We need to live as dual citizens here on this earth. Our lives need to tell the world that we're just passing through here. We don't plan to stay. But while we're here, we're going to submit to what this country requires of us. Think about when we travel to Bangladesh, or I have some family members who were born out of this country. They're dual citizens. They have equal rights in both countries. And that's how we're to live here in this earth. We submit to the authority that we're under while we're here. But we're passing on, and God is our ultimate authority. Verse 12 and 15 point out that we need to live above reproach, that when people would speak evil of us, they have a hard time finding something that they can accuse us of. We know Daniel lived this way. The evil men around him knew how they could trap him. They had to make a law that got between him and his ultimate authority, which was God. And that's how they were able to trap him. Another way we can render to Caesar is simply submit. We don't like to submit, do we? Peter says here that in verse 13 that we should submit for the Lord's sake. Again, we see this dual responsibility. We have a responsibility to our government leaders, but our ultimate responsibility is to God. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Read two verses here yet. Again, Paul's writing, he says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." The way we can render to Caesar is to simply obey. And I mentioned some of these already, but following the speed limit. I know this is an area that I need to grow in my life. It's easy to just get over there in the left lane and go where we're going. But there's a ordinance there that we need to follow. We need to listen to. It's called the speed limit. There's many other different things that we could add to this list. Laws of this land that we need to simply obey and submit ourselves to that. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 is another thing that we can do to render unto Caesar. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 3. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. I need to grow in this area as well. Praying for all that are in authority. Not just the ones that think the way we do, or we think are making the right choices. We need to pray for all of those that are in authority. Praying for someone does something for us, doesn't it? When we pray for someone, Jesus said we're supposed to pray for those that despitefully use us. Because it changes our mindset about that person when we pray for them. Found this quote from Doctrines of the Bible. It says, prayer is the power that moves the hand that rules the world. We can worry about the decisions that are being made by our government leaders. We can protest them. We can do whatever we want. But the most powerful thing we can do is to pray for them, because God directs them and He's accomplishing His will through them. Let's not forget to pray for our leaders, especially during this time of they need much wisdom. So this morning I just wanted to remind us again from God's word that we have a responsibility as Christians to our earthly authorities. Can we obey everything perfectly? Probably not. But we can do our best to honor and respect and obey where we can. In a society that is against authority, we see it all around us. People just resisting authority. Well, I don't want to. I don't have to. I'm not going to. We can shine as a light as we try to obey, try to submit to the authority that God has placed in our life. Let's not forget that. The authority that is in our life is placed there by God, and it's for our good and it's for our benefit. Let's kneel for prayer.
Father in heaven, we again bow our hearts before you this morning. We praise you and thank you for being our God. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Thank you that we can look into it this morning. And, oh God, you know we fall short many times of being willing to submit to obey the earthly authority in our life. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to respect. Help us to love. Lord, help us to be able to put ourselves down, lift others up. This morning I want to especially lift up the leaders of our land, the responsibility that they have to lead the earthly affairs of this world. May you give them much wisdom, direct them. And I pray, Father, that they would bring about your will on this earth. Just help us, Father, as we endeavor to live out your teachings. We ask this in Jesus' name.